I can do rapid fire with you today because we don't have a ton of time. Usually you and I can go for hours and hours and hours. We could talk about Manchester United's Europa League championship winning performance. We're not going to do that this morning because Indiana has had a very busy week, whether it's been basketball, football, and obviously the Big Ten tournament, which you've been covering for the Star. How about yesterday? Let's start with the baseball since that's going on, and we've got a 5 p.m. game today. 13 innings, 4 hours and 38 minutes. The guts of Indiana rose to the top in a very long day, a very nerve-wracking day yesterday. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It was the longest game in Big Ten baseball tournament history. It was one that Indiana struggled to get going in. Oliver Gaskey's probably one of the best pitchers in the Big Ten for Michigan. And then Indiana also let slip away in the ninth inning. They had a 4-3 lead and let Michigan come back and tie it. They got really solid three innings out of their bullpen from Cal Kruger, who started some. He's worked some in relief this year. And Alex Krupa, I think Chris Lemonis was the one who said Krupa had about as bad of a day as you could have. He was 0-for-5. He bobbled a couple balls out in left field, but he comes up in the 13th and drives in the game-winning run on what was a double, but really was a single just because nobody ever touched second down the left field line. And so it was a big game for Indiana because it was maybe a little bit unclear whether or not they were firmly in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
They needed a win, one or two wins. Indiana comes into the tournament with the best RPI in the league. They've got a lot of good wins. They got series wins in Minnesota, at Michigan. But the second best team in the league RPI-wise is Michigan. So it probably does Indiana a lot of good that if they did need to win a game this week slash weekend, Michigan was the one that that they did, and they'll keep going. I don't believe their opponent has been determined yet. They'll play at 5 o'clock today against the loser of Minnesota Northwestern. My understanding was, unless I'm mistaken, that game did not get played last night.
10 a.m. start this morning at Bart Kaufman Field, so that team will have to play a doubleheader similar to what Maryland had to do yesterday. So that's how the tournament's worked out. We've had a little bit of a weather problem, but I think your point's excellent. If they had the RPI that they had, losing to Minnesota isn't the worst thing that could happen, but beating Michigan was probably the best thing because a Northwestern win might not help you as much there, right?
Yeah, I know. I think that's fair. And yet at the same time, I think that there are some who say Indiana was a little bit on the bubble coming in. I know I talked to Aaron Fitt at D1Baseball.com, and he was pretty confident Indiana was in. I mean, if anything, he kind of felt like, you know, there wasn't a ton to gain for Indiana this week other than maybe getting a 2 seed instead of a 3 seed, which, I mean, in theory can impact your ability to host a second weekend if you win your regional and another 2 seed wins a regional or something like that. But, I mean, then you're talking about a lot of factors aligning really nicely. You know, honestly, Fitt told me he didn't think Indiana – probably could not play its way into hosting a regional this weekend, even if it swept through the tournament, but also didn't necessarily think Indiana could play itself out of the tournament this weekend. So it kind of depends on who you talk to coming in, but I think your point's valid, too, that if you're going to beat somebody in this tournament, better it be Michigan than pretty much anybody else in the league.
Now, as Indiana moves on, if they win their pod, they will move on to play for a championship eventually, the Big Ten automatic qualifying bid. So Indiana, if they would win that, would probably help somebody on the bubble somewhere else, but that's not the worry. This team has been, I don't want to say start slow on the weekends or start slow on these series, but there's been a couple Fridays where it hasn't fired, but they've bounced back excellently. Should we expect that same performance as the weekend continues here?
Well, I mean, I'd argue to some extent that's what you got yesterday. You're right, 3 of the 6. Big Ten series, they won. They lost the first game then. And I don't know if that's a big enough sample size to draw sweeping conclusions, but I know Indiana feels like it's good at rebounding. You know, to use some of the cliches, you know, when Chris Lemonis or maybe it was Alex Grippy yesterday used the one, you know, we're better with our back against the wall, but I think it's just it's an easier way of saying Indiana is not necessarily fazed by picking up that early loss. And I mean, they got probably Michigan's best arm in Jaskey. He was their Friday starter. Indiana beat him earlier this season. It was literally a 1-0 win on a Tony Butler home run.
Second pitch of the game.
that's the kind of – you're talking about a guy that makes very, very few mistakes. And to get past him, again, to pick up such a big RPI win, to come back from giving up the lead in the ninth inning, all those different things. I think you feel good about it. And if you're Indiana, you know, it remains to be seen. Chris Lamona said he picked today's starter based on matchups. He's got Brian Hobby. He's got Andrew Saul, Frank. I wouldn't be surprised if Kruger could maybe come back and give you long innings later in the tournament if you needed him to. You know, this is a pitching staff, though, that's really more about its depth maybe than it's I don't know if you've got like an Oliver Jackie at the arm, or to use a more recent example for IU fans. I don't know if there's a Joey Donato or an Aaron Slagers in this rotation, but it can go four or five deep. And so if you are in Indiana's position where you're now in the loser's bracket, so you got to win, and at some point you're going to have to beat somebody twice if you do want to win the Big Ten tournament, because you're going to have to beat somebody that hasn't lost yet, and you got to lose twice to get knocked out, you at least feel good about having so much pitching depth, having a bullpen that really developed later in the season, having a lot of good young arms that you can match up with here over the next, well, maybe just today, maybe today and tomorrow, maybe today, tomorrow, Sunday.
And Sunday's forecast, who knows what that's going to entail. If the tournament gets washed out, the highest seed remaining will be crowned champion. That is in the rule book. That is not a feel. That was all agreed on by everybody, so don't be surprised. We hope the weather doesn't affect it. The other thing that we noticed yesterday, Indiana's closer, Matt Lloyd, had a little bit of an issue with the finger there, but he still ended up pitching, what, 2-3 innings? Is everything okay with that moving forward? Because you know his bat's helpful, and he's the guy that's going to hopefully close up the game.
Yeah, I mean, nobody mentioned it, and I think he certainly, still hit. I think the question was there was going to be a little bit of a blister on the finger that was going to, you know, get in the way of him being able to pitch effectively. So we'll see how that affects down the line. I'd be surprised if it took him out of the lineup, but it's harder, maybe a little bit harder to say whether or not it'll be something that impacts him on the mound.
Yeah, well, just score 10 runs and you don't have to worry about putting your closer in. That's another way to look at it.
Right, exactly.
Zach Osterman's our guest, Indy Star beat writer, at Zach Osterman on Twitter. You can find all of his stuff. Busy week for Indiana basketball. We had more roster – well, not change. Well, we did have a roster change. Robert Johnson, he's staying. Grant Gaylon is going. What do we make of the final empty scholarship? Remember when we were oversigned by three? Now we're under by one. I think Archie was right. All this would work itself out.
Yeah, that's an interesting question that I don't really have an answer for yet. It is what, if anything, Indiana plans to do with that last scholarship. I mean, it Archie Miller said, I think, more than once now that he didn't necessarily see the need to always be carrying 13 scholarship players. And if you look at actually what happened with his brother Sean, where a top 25 player in the 2018 class sort of last minute decided to reclassify and jump into 2017 and join Arizona in the spring, having that extra scholarship open gives you a little bit of leeway if something, and that won't happen a lot, but it just gives you flexibility if an opportunity opens up that you maybe didn't expect. You know, will Indiana try to fill it? I've heard there's a young man by the name of, and if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize, Nizaiah Carter. He was a Dayton signee. He is actually related to Jay-Z. I believe
that Jay-Z
from Indiana. Yes, that Jay-Z. I believe he is heard from and may even have an offer from Indiana, but when everything happened at Dayton, he decided to back out, reclassify, and go to prep school. I don't know if there's been immediate contact about him reclassifying back to 2017, which is his normal year. He was a senior this year, but just because of the uncertainty after the coaching change at Dayton, he thought he'd take a prep year and just kind of revisit his whole recruitment. I don't know if he could get involved. You know, the grad transfer market this late in the year is kind of hit or miss. So I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't rule anything out, and I also wouldn't rule out the possibility that Indiana decides not to do anything.
They're not required. They're not required to carry 13 scholarship players, correct?
No. You can have. I mean, you can have as few as you want, I suppose. I would imagine at a certain point you'd want to have at least, you know, 5 or 6.
Right. Well, the interesting point that I brought up on Wednesday when we talked in the zone was the grad transfer option is interesting because it's a guy that helps you, A, right this second, B, you don't have 3 more years after it, and you can go in another direction next year in the recruiting class. Is that the advantage? Is that why teams look to fill that spot with the grad transfer?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think to some degree.
Because the recruiting game is so late right now, don't you want a guy that, for Cam Johnson from Pittsburgh, for example, a guy's played in the ACC, come in and help you right now, a kid late in the recruiting cycle, I don't know how he's going to help you next year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. At the same time, if you're Indiana, you're also looking at a situation where you've already got five seniors. You know, do you want to
We'll make a run at it, baby. Let's go.
Get a sixth senior and then your recruiting class, because something else Archie Miller talked about that I found interesting in a more recent meeting with the media than his introductory news conference was, he said that one of the big, you know, one of the big sort of keys about keeping that whole 2017 signing class together is that you want good class balance on your roster. You don't want a roster where you lose a lot of guys at the top end, or you basically have a huge hole at one of your recruiting classes. And so then somewhere down the line, you're going to have two really big classes back-to-back, and all of a sudden you've got a roster where maybe 9 or even 10 of your 13 scholarships are given out to freshmen and sophomores, and then, you know, every coach likes to talk about, you know, culture and tradition and work ethic and how older players teach younger players all these different things. If you're in a position where you got 9 or 10 freshmen and sophomores, is that realistic to expect your older players to be able to really kind of command that locker room in the same way? You want good year-over-year balance. Just by the nature of the way things are falling out, Indiana's already going to have five seniors next season. I could see a scenario where maybe Archie Miller, if he can't find, like, say, a freshman that he really likes, or if he can't find a legitimately high-impact grad transfer, says, I'm just going to hold on to this one. We'll sort of roll it back into 2018, or maybe we hold on to it and see if there's a grad transfer out there next year we like, or maybe there's a two-year grad transfer, a Nick Zizelov type guy who could come in, because right now Indiana's only got one senior for the 2018-19 season on scholarship. That's Juwan Morgan.
JUCO round is also available, like we saw with Freddie McSwain.
Yeah, I think the thing is it gives you options, and I don't know that you need to do any one thing with it.
And that makes sense, and that's the option that Archie has. It'll give us a little bit of look into what he values, what he thinks going forward, especially here in, what, he's been here for 3 months. We'll get some more clues from him. Hey, what are you doing August 31st?
Covering a football game.
That's right. That was announced yesterday. ESPN, 8 o'clock. The Ohio State Buckeyes are in town, Memorial Stadium. That's a Thursday night. That's a national TV game. We know all Indiana's games, quote unquote, are on national television. This one has a little bit more juice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Kevin Wilson coming back, and also just, you know, it's a Thursday night game. It's the first time I can remember the Big Ten opening with the Big Ten game. That's something that the SEC does a lot. The ACC does it some. I think the Big Ten is kind of trying to get into that. Basically, the idea is that maybe if you move a few of those conference games up in the season, you can hand your teams some easier dates later in the season. You
the know SEC I mean? Is the – they started that tradition. Who does – before all their rivalry games, they don't play anybody.
Yeah,
they
right, exactly. Because what they do is they move – conference games up for the first couple weeks of the season, then they leave that date before rivalry weekend open and
get healthy.
You know, sometimes you'll see teams take a bye. Sometimes you'll see teams play one AA opponents. Either way, everybody kind of gets a week to soft pedal before Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, whatever. Yeah. I don't know if the Big Ten's ever going to go fully that way.
Well, I think it's good for two reasons. Number one,
trying to create a few just opportunities for its football teams to maybe, as you said, get a break week a little bit further down the line.
That, and also fans crave decent matchups early in the season because you can't play Appalachian State and Florida A&M every weekend. I mean, people want to see good football games, so you have these made-for-TV and Jerry World and made-for-TV. So if you're going to play a conference game, heck, we might as well be the only show in town Thursday night, national television ESPN game at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Let's do it. Let's get in that spotlight instead of doing it the other way. All right, enjoy your weekend. This has been busy. We appreciate the update. At Zach Osterman, IndyStar.com, you can find everything you need to know about everything that's going on. And I figure we'll chat once or twice more this summer. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, buddy, appreciate the time. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, sir. We'll talk to you.